It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Hello, everyone. We, as Christian Americans, often pay a price for our faith. And sometimes God places us in extraordinary circumstances that we never anticipated. Well, my guest today is a Chinese American who found himself in a position that he probably never imagined. He became the photographer for the President of the United States, and I'm talking about President Trump. And so today, I want to talk about his personal experiences as a person of faith, but also what he has encountered since writing a book about the president and the backstory of the photographs. And you see, you know, this man's faith walk, and you'll learn about his book. But again, there has been a price to pay. And as Christians, you know, we expect that because we're told in the Bible that we will be persecuted. And so I would like you to help me welcome Gene Ho to the Be the People show.
Thank you so much for having me, and what a wonderful introduction, because the story I have to tell is not only about the President of the United States, but it is truly indeed about a personal journey, to be quite honest, just coming to Jesus and understanding how he works and how he works in our lives.
And Gene, I want to learn more about you myself. I know about your book and how the censors and the political left, how they've tried to prevent you from getting out your messages. But tell me about where you were born and how you came to faith.
This is an interesting story because I was born in Brooklyn, New York, so I am an American, but my mom and dad are both from, my dad is from China, my mom's from Hong Kong. So crazy enough, my first language was speaking Chinese, and then loved America. My parents said, you know what, you're 4 or 5 years old, we're going to speak English in this household because we're Americans. And so, as you see, I don't think I have too much of an accent, but I love America, and I became a photographer throughout. I've been a photographer for 30 years now.
And when did you come to faith?
Well, here's the interesting thing. You know, there's throughout your life, I've read the Bible often, and then I've turned away from it. But like the thing is, being a photographer, which is really different from what it is now, photographers are used to being liked. We are used to being around people that like to see us there, like to be around us. And so I basically built a career over 30 years with me basically being loved by people and never making a stand for Jesus, never making a stand for my political conservative beliefs, but just trying to have people like me. And
I mean, what's controversial about taking a picture? I mean, most photographers that are good, they make us look good.
Yeah, I mean, it was like that. I was, for the longest time, I was beloved in this community, and I still am. In Myrtle Beach, people love me. But like at one time, all people loved me. And it was just, all things to all people. It talks about when Jesus says, if you love me, then the world's going to hate you. But I mean, the world really, really, really loved me. I mean, it was wonderful. I had one of the biggest photography studios in the country. We had at one time over 25 photographers that worked for me. But then when I made a stance for my faith, when I made a stance for my president, and when I made a stance for my conservative views, I lost a lot of photographers, I lost a lot of clients, and I lost a lot of friends. And it was really hard on me.
Well, I don't know if you know a little bit about my story, but I was tenured at Princeton University early. Something like 1 in 5 get tenure there.
Wow.
I got mine early. And the world loved me too. And it only started to change when I became, I left Princeton and came to Vanderbilt. But when I became an open Christian and a conservative, my whole life changed and I'm no longer in academia.
Well, you know what? Talking about what people loving you and everything, I will never forget because
I don't know if they ever loved me. They tolerated me. They
tolerated
me after I became a Christian.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe people never loved me. Maybe they just tolerated me. But I will never forget the story that my wife and I had because we were, you know, we never took a stand for our faith at all. And I'll never forget it because I had one of our photographers and we're sitting there joking and all this stuff. And then the photographer said to us, you know, just mockingly, well, yeah, they think you're a Christian. And then like you're like, Gene, like you're a Christian. And my wife and I just looked at each other and we're just like, wow, you know, that's where it's become that. I mean, we've always had a certain amount of faith, but we never profess that faith to other people, and not that we push it on people, but to have someone say to us, oh, you're not a Christian. And I was like, wow, here's my one chance I could deny Jesus and have everyone love me. Or, you know, I could just say, whoa, you know, wait a minute. And it was a long process to that, but I finally got to the point where, you know, sooner or later, you have to take a stand for your beliefs, you have to take a stand for Jesus. And you have to take a stand for your faith so that it empowers other people.
So, Gene, in the moment when that person, you know, made the disparaging comment, you're not a Christian, are you, or whatever they say it, how did you respond?
Well, you know, the thing is, I said, wait a minute, we are Christians. And then part of it was just really, and I'm not the type of Christian that forces, you know, my beliefs on everybody. But at the same time, I mean, you know, I mean, our lives were not exactly Christian-like. So I understand why they came to that conclusion. And I'm not the type of person even today where I condemn people for the way they live or anything like that. But at the very least, I mean, when do we get to the point where that somehow we as Americans are ashamed to become Christian or ashamed to profess faith in Jesus? I mean, I think that's the main talking point in America today, that, you know, they make it or people have made it almost shameful to support the biblical beliefs and support Jesus. It's a battle, I think, in society for that viewpoint that
go ahead. Gene, is it safe to say that you were closeted as a Christian before, or it didn't, you know, it was just like one part of your life and it didn't intrude on your life as a photographer as you saw it? And this person that asked you that question.
No, I really think when it comes to something like this, I think it would be shameful on my behalf to say that I was a closeted Christian because, you know, you could say you're a Christian all day long, but like if you are, you know, how are you proving it? I mean, are you going home and reading the Bible every day? I wasn't. You know, are you, you know, how are you living your lives? That's the more important thing. So, you know, did I believe in God? Yes, I definitely did. But to call myself a Christian, maybe, you know, maybe perhaps I needed to take a look at myself and, you know, how I was leading my life and then decide from there what I wanted to do with my life.
Now we're going to take a break. And when I return, I want to talk about how you became connected with the Trump campaign. Each week, the Be the People show presents interviews with insightful guests from the world of politics, religion, media, and culture. The Be the People show is on podcast. It offers bonus footage. To listen to Be the People online, go to the BeThePeopleNews.com website and subscribe to the Be the People podcast, heard also on the America Out Loud Network.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Jean Ho. And Jean, you became the photographer, the personal photographer for President Donald Trump. How did that happen?
Well, Dr. Swain, it's almost like the right place at the right time. I really had little to do with it. I was the photographer for the Tea Party convention. And Trump, before he even ran for president, was at this convention. Let's see, who else was there? Ben Carson was there. Ted Cruz was there. And Donald Trump was there. And I saw him there, met him, really, really liked him. And so out of all the candidates, I said, you know, who would I like to support if I was going to support anybody? So I liked how Donald Trump treated me. I liked how he treated other people. And so I took my pictures and sent it to him directly, not thinking anything of it. Just had a contact, sent him some pictures. And lo and behold, about 3 weeks later, I get a letter. And the letter said, I opened it and it said, Mr. Trump would like you to see the following letter. And I thought it was a cease and desist. I thought that he didn't like the photos or something. But lo and behold, it was a personal handwritten letter from Donald Trump and said, Gene, love the photos. Thank you very much. And then from then on, he invited me to photograph the first rally, which was only like 50 people there. And I stayed there until the very last day of until Election Day 2016. So it was a little bit, just shy of 2 years I was with him.
That's amazing, because you're sending something directly to candidate Trump. There's no way to guarantee that he would actually see it.
I know. I mean, that is what blows my mind about all of this, is like I never, you know, never purposely decided that I was going to do this. I just said, you know what, this would be cool. You know, I sent him the pictures, and I get this letter back. And at the time, it was the greatest thing ever just to even get the letter. And then, go ahead. Yeah, so it was neat. Then stayed there the whole time.
And the first rally had only 50 people. Where was that at?
Oh, my goodness. It was my hometown, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Truthfully, the birthplace of the campaign. So it was right here. He did a meeting with about 50 people in a room. And then he went to a middle school to say hello to some middle school children. And then that's it. And he flew down in his plane. We called his jet plane Trump Force One at the time. Flew down here. I mean, couldn't even imagine how much he must have spent in gasoline just to come down here to talk to maybe 50 people and then maybe 200 or something more at the middle school. It just shows you, if you believe in yourself and you could get other people to believe in your message, the amazing things that happen. And that's true for all of us.
Well, at that time, candidate Trump was considered a long shot. So I find it very interesting that of all the candidates on the stage, a lot of people would have put their money on Ted Cruz. You chose Donald Trump, and then you stuck with him, even though in the beginning he didn't have those huge crowds.
Yeah, no, it was really small, but I still remember backstage when I was with him, one of the workers at the hotel came up to him, and this was when Trump was still very popular because of his TV show. And someone came up with his cell phone and said to Trump, he goes, could I record this? Record you saying to me that I'm fired? And I was like, Trump's never going to do this for this guy. He's just going to be too busy for him. I couldn't believe it. Like Donald Trump took the time for a hotel worker. And by the way, it was a black man. He took the time and did like two takes to get his name right, so that he could have a little video of Trump saying, you know, hey, so-and-so, you're fired. And I was like, wow, this guy's like famous, and he's taking the time to talk to people like that and talk to people like me. And
that
I was like,
so
oh my goodness. I mean, it's what the mainstream media displays about Trump is like nothing of what he's really like. It's he's a wonderful man, and it's amazing. The mainstream media doesn't even bother to ask me. I mean, if anything, I'm not white or black, but if anyone should know, it should be the minority in the room that has seen Trump behind the scenes. I've seen him, how he interacts with people.
Well, I met candidate Trump in Nashville. Were you at the Nashville, I think it was Rocket Town, he spoke as a candidate. I think it was the summer of 2015.
No, I didn't. I was doing his personal photography. So they basically, the campaign asked me to go to different places so that I could take pictures backstage. And in the ones I did go, the photos that I took was used by the campaign. Like some of them went to Trump's Twitter, or one of the photos went on the Trump bus. So it was a long, grueling campaign. And some days there was upwards of three or four rallies in one day. And if it was connected, I would go to all three of them or four of them. And sometimes I would go like the last day. I just went to one of the campaign stops on the last day before Election Day.
Now, the reason I mention Nashville and Rocket Town is that he came to Nashville as a candidate, and I had my book. I have a book called Be the People.
Yes, yes.
And so I wanted to give him a copy of that book because it had a chapter on immigration. I thought that would help him. And I was not getting any luck from the organizers as far as how I was going to get that book to candidate Trump. And I happened to be standing like in the hallway by a door, and he walked through that door with his entourage. And I went up to him, I shook his hand, and I gave him the book. I never heard back from him, but I was able to shake hands with candidate Trump. And he was very friendly to me, just like you described him. And it was a great experience, given that I had no other way to get close to him. And there I was, standing by the door.
That is amazing. And you know what the thing is with all of this? You know, when it comes to someone like Trump, I, as a minority that has grown up with racism and prejudice growing up, I mean, it's very difficult to be a little Chinese boy growing up in New York, where there was maybe two or three other Chinese people in the whole school. I am, and perhaps you are too, but I am very sensitive. I am very hypersensitive to be on the lookout for people when I could sense prejudice. I'm very good at that because I've seen it. And I tell you, I was behind the scenes, but also a fly in the wall with Trump. And I've seen how he interacts with people. And 2 years is a really long time. We're talking not only backstage, but I had access to the green room at times. So I was the backstage of the backstage. It's really hard to hide yourself for 2 years if you're a racist. I mean, he is not a racist, and I wish people would just start asking me, not people like you, but like, just ask, get the mainstream media just to say, hey, really, set the record straight for us. Is he a racist
they
or
know.
Not?
The mainstream media knows he's not a racist, and if you've heard Ben Carson talk about why he chose Trump, it had to do with how Trump treated him backstage while they were both candidates.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah. I met Dr. Carson several times. In fact, because the campaign crossed paths many times. I love Ben Carson. I just love Ben Carson so much. And he is just an amazing class act, him and his wife.
Well, we're going to take another break. And when we return, you can tell us more about some of your experiences with the president, in particular, what led to the publication of your book, Trumpography.
You're listening to Be the People. Dr. Carol Swain is the mind behind Be the People News, radio, podcast, and YouTube. Be the People's mission is dedicated to empowering individuals to think independently, understand their responsibility, and believe in their unique ability to make a difference in the world. Check out Carol's work at BeThePeopleNews.com. To invite Carol to be your next keynote speaker, go to BeThePeopleNews.com. That's BeThePeopleNews.com.
We're back on the Be the People show. My guest is Jean Ho. So, Jean, When did you separate from the Trump campaign, or did you, I know that you were there during the campaign. Were you there after he was elected?
Well, I had an opportunity, and I had several opportunities after the campaign was over to photograph the president of the United States after he actually became president. But it was basically what happened was on election day of 2016. That final day I did, the day before I did the final rally. And then everyone was asking me if I would go to New York. And I was like, you know what, let me just spend some time with my family. You have to remember, I spent a lot of time on the campaign, and I spent a lot of time because I was still working double, two jobs. I was still working my photography business, traveling and doing weddings on the weekends. So I spent a lot of time away from my family. And so after the campaign, that was perhaps the worst year of my life, the absolute worst year of my life. So many things happen because you support Trump. Without going too much about it, someone was trying to sue me. I got subpoenaed for my, someone else was trying to sue someone else that had something to do with the Trump campaign. So I got my records, emails, subpoenaed. I had to hire lawyers, all on my dime. I was audited by the IRS twice, and that was an ugly audit. Ugly audit. In fact, it was so ugly, my accountant called it the ugliest audit she's ever seen in her 35 years as an accountant. And it was the worst year of my life. And then on top of that, you know, there's no way you could spend that much time away from your wife and children without affecting your marriage, without affecting your family life. And so I always knew I was going to write a book about Trump, but I started reading the Bible at the same time. And I started basically reconnecting with Jesus. And I also started seeing different things about the campaign. The subtitle to my book is How Biblical Principles Paved the Way to the American Presidency. And I saw that. I saw that in Trump, how he used biblical principles, how he was not only kind to people, but how he reflected certain things that I read in the Bible. And so it was that year after the campaign that my life got really, really bad, but then started getting better.
How old are your children?
I have a 8-year-old and I have a 7-year-old. And this is the amazing thing, besides during the Trump campaign, but even before that, when I was on the road as a photographer doing weddings, I seen both of my youngest children, I seen their first steps on Skype. So that's how much, for the longest time, I was just caring about my business, my reputation, you know, all this stuff I was worried about, but I really wasn't worried too much about my family. And that's the whole difference of me now and then. I'm on a book tour. I travel the country promoting my book. I am the photographer for Diamond and Silk, so I travel to their events as well. But I travel with my family. My children are homeschooled. But I travel with my wife and my children to the events, and I'm loving life. I mean, it's wonderful.
I have to apologize for saying your poor wife. She must really have loved you to have stuck with you during that time with those tiny children while you were gallivanting across the country.
Yeah, and you know what? I do owe her a lot. I mean, it's just, I mean, to get to the point where, you know, whenever a married couple like actually sits down and say and talks about divorce, I mean, that was just, I'll never forget that. And it was a dark period of my life, you know, right after the campaign. And then we actually started working on this book together. I wrote the book based on my experiences, and my wife basically went in there because, you know, I'm not exactly the best speller or the best on grammar and all this stuff. And we basically wrote this book together. And now we're out there promoting it together.
Now, was your wife a woman of faith, you know, when you married her, or did you both come to faith at the same time?
No, it was pretty much at the same time. I mean, you know, not to say that we were overly selfish, but we were definitely not living our life in Jesus. I mean, you know, we were, it's amazing, like you just, we were I know at least for me, I was like to be loved by the world. And, you know, it was right after this that it was a dark period of time in my life. And then she helped me through it. But then after that, we just both started reading the Bible independently of each other. Like, she had her own copy, I had my own copy. And then now the discussions in the household became, you know what? Check out this scripture. What do you think? What do you think, Jesus? What do you think the Bible meant by that? What do you think Jesus meant by that? And it just changed the whole dynamic of our life, our marriage, and our children. And we're not overly, you know, we're not the judgmental Christians or anything like that. But, you know, to be at home and to talk about these things is just a wonderful, wonderful way of living, and discussing things with my children about the Bible and have them question things and show me things about what they read. You know, I mean, I don't think that there's a better life than that, to be honest. It's really wonderful right now.
And when you say you're not judgmental Christians, I think that they have put us so much on the defensive that a lot of times that we're reluctant to speak about our values when we're in situations where we might make someone uncomfortable. It's God's word that judges people. It's God's word that says that some things are sin, some things are wrong. And I think that, you know, it's kind of hard to navigate that. I see my Christian walk is I have free will. I choose to do the things that I hope pleases God. And when I see someone, you know, close to me that I really care about, and they're making decisions that are not God's best, I try to inform them. But I realize that people have a choice about whether or not they want to live by the biblical principles. A lot of times they don't know, but I think that we don't need to be defensive about, we're not judging people. It's God's word that judges good from evil and right from wrong.
Yes, exactly. And I'm not the best on, you know, scriptures and where they are, but there's a scripture that says, let the righteous man do righteous still and let the sinner do sinning still, or something like that. But it just goes to show you, I mean, like, you, what you guys do or what anyone does, that's your choice. But I'll tell you this, I mean, I lived fully in Satan's world and I live fully in God's world. And between the two, all things being equal, I pick my life living with Jesus. So, you know, I am so much happier now. I feel alive for the first time in my whole life. Just a really quick point, Dr. Swain, it's, you know, in my backyard, I have a very pretty backyard, and I did not even know that, like, not even a quarter mile, maybe not quite a half mile, but about a quarter mile away from my house in my backyard, there's a beautiful, beautiful lake. I've lived at my house for about 15 years, and I took my children out there for the first time riding bicycles. And I didn't even know, like, that's how not alive I was for almost all my life. I am alive for the first time, and I spent time with my children. I spent time with my wife. We have a great time, and we discuss the Bible. We discuss other things, you know, but we play Legos. But, you know, we have a good time together, and it's wonderful. And it's, all I'm here to do is, like, hey, you know what? This is what God has done for me. You know, if you are stressed out, maybe you should do the same thing, but what you decide to do is you, not me.
That's right. Gene, I'd like for you to give our listeners an opportunity to learn about, you know, where they can purchase your book, but also maybe hear you speak. And so this is your opportunity to give social media or websites or whatever you'd like to
share. Yes, thank you so much. The easiest way to find all the links is my main website is geneho.com. So it's geneho.com. And from that, you can see a link to my book, Trumpography. I have a whole website on that. But in that website, I have my tour schedule of where places and where I'm going to be next. I'm headed out to St. Padre Island for the Latinos for Trump convention. Next year, I'll be traveling all over the West Coast, in particular California. And so I travel a lot with that. Please check it out, but it's geneho.com, G-E-N-E-H-O.com. Check out the book, you know, get a copy. It's on Amazon too, but check it out. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, Gene, thank you so much for being on the Be the People show. And if you have some extra time, I'd like for you to, I have to end the show for our radio listeners, but I'd like to continue our conversation on the podcast. And so for anyone that would like to hear more of my conversation with Gene Ho, you can go to BeThePeopleNews.com or the America Out Loud website and to listen to the rest of the podcast. And if you have not subscribed to the Be the People podcast, this is your opportunity. And as always, I remind you that it is up to us to be the people who change our nation and our world. Under our Constitution, it's we the people. We're responsible for the kind of government that's out there. And as Christians, we have responsibilities as well. And so this conversation with Gene, it's been very enlightening about the Christian walk. I hope it has encouraged you. And I hope that you will tune in to the podcast to hear the rest of the interview. Until next time. So, Gene, you've told us about your book. I'm very interested in what you will be doing for the 2020 elections. I know that you are a political activist at heart. You no longer care if everyone loves you, that you are being directed and guided by the higher power that comes from that relationship with Jesus. So what are you going to be doing for the 2020 election?
Well, one of the things I'll be doing is besides going out there and promoting this book, but I'll be spending a lot of time in these blue states. What I would love to do is nothing more than help the President of the United States flip some of these states from blue to red. And I'm spending a lot of time. For the first part of the year, I'll spend a lot of time in California. I'll be in Silicon Valley. I'll be in Los Angeles. I'll be in San Diego. But basically, I'll be going there and talking to a lot of people out there about the President of the United States. And the crowds that I'm getting are getting bigger and bigger. When I first started my first talk, this is like almost a year ago, there was probably like 10 or 15 people there to hear me speak. And now routinely I get anywhere from 200 to 400 people on a regular basis coming out to see me. We expect by next year, we already have reservations for one place for 700 and another place for 1,000. So these are all people coming out to see me and hear me talk.
Well, that is wonderful. And if you ever make it to the South, we'd love to have you speaking in Nashville and in some of the states that have been red states, because people from California and New York and all of the places around the world have moved into the South, they are no longer securely red states. And so your voice is probably needed all over the country.
Yes, I'm actually spending a lot of time. I mean, we're basically, once we get into 2020, almost traveling full time with my family. But we enjoy it, and then we enjoy meeting the people out there. So we have many of our dates set, but many of the dates later on in the summer are to be announced. But it's been going well, and it's been very well received, the people that come out and see me. And I'm also still with Fox News' Diamond Silk, who are touring as well around the country. So sometimes people can see me at some of their events as well.
You said Fox News?
Yeah, Diamond and Silk on Fox News. They are.
Oh yes.
They're touring the country as well, and I, you can see me out on stage at their events as well. I think the first one in 2020 is going to be in Washington D.C. In the later half of January.
Well, I'm involved with a group that I would like for you to check out, and that's the Mighty American Strike Force.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I forgot all about this. I forgot that you were the connection, but yes, I believe they're in Austin, Texas. And then I will be going down there as well to meet with them. I have a phone call with them, I think tomorrow. So yes, that's one of the groups that my publicist has put me in contact with, but I forgot. I want to thank you. It was from you. It was actually you made the connection.
Well, I can't wait to meet you. I don't know when our paths are going to cross, but if I go to your website, will I be able to see where you're going to be?
Yeah, if you go, I said it on the other program, geneho.com, G-E-N-E-H-O.com. But if you just go to, I have another site, it's called trumpography.com, but it's Trump with a dash ography.com. You can find it from my main website, but there's a schedule where I put where I'm going to be. But I will also say that it's almost certain that I'll be spending time in Nashville. I was there last time when I was on the Governor Mike Huckabee show. He tapes out of Hendersonville, I believe. And so I've been to Nashville, love it. I can't believe how beautiful that area is. And I will certainly be back on the way, either way back to or from California, because we're actually, since it's a book tour, we're actually driving and seeing the country from our car because we have the books with us.
Well, Gene, it's been an honor to have you on the Be the People show and podcast. And I will be looking for opportunities for us to connect, and maybe through the Mighty American Strike Force, we'll be both working to help elect candidates who share our values. And most importantly, we know that the presidency is at stake, and the both of us would like to see President Trump be able to implement the agenda that he laid out that got him elected by the American people.
Absolutely. And like I said, I can't wait. I'll almost certainly be in the Nashville area. So I would love to talk with you. And I'm looking forward. I have a meeting tomorrow with Strike Force, and looking forward to it very much and working together with you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for listening to and supporting the Be the People podcast and radio show. And until next time, remember to be the people who change our nation and our world.